Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former 3-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What did you think of Daniels in his first championship game action?
Solid, if unspectacular. The bar that he set was frankly outrageous. And not just for a rookie, for anybody. Like, basically, hey, there's not that much going on here. Could you just be a superhero?
Yeah, he came in the best player in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Hockey has an award called the Conn Smythe. Mm-hmm. It goes to the guy that was the most dominant player in a postseason run. And Jaden Daniels was in the driver's seat for the Conn Smythe in the NFL. And he was not head and shoulders the best player on the field, which he was in Detroit, I thought. And you could probably make that case for Tampa, although I'm sure I'm forgetting something along the way for from the Bucks, but like he was the best player on the field probably in both games. I didn't think that was the case yesterday.
No, and you always wonder, right? You need someone that really, really knows what the play call was, what the assignment was, or whatever. Some of the sacks or some of the pressures that he faced. Was there somebody there if he was totally on time? Was it that he saw instantly that Allegretti got beat? Or was it, some truth somewhere in between? Was the drop supposed to be 5 and then he ended up going 7 and then he escaped or whatever? I get the sense, though, in general, I sort of default to him being right more often than not based on the deposits he's put in the bank, I don't know, for 90-some percent of this year. I get the sense when he was scrambling, looking downfield, running to his right, hoping and praying that somebody would come open, that nobody was. I just think Philadelphia's really good, especially at that, at plastering the guys, covering one-on-one, limiting things. I think they guessed right an awful lot of some of the pass concepts and different stuff. Because I think Vic Fangio's great at this, quite frankly. And you don't have a guy like A.J. Brown that can just go, even if I'm covered, I'm going to uncover in a matter of seconds. It's not really who they are. So, to me, I thought he was good. I don't think it was that they lost because Jaden Daniels wasn't good. I don't think that's the case at all.
No, definitely not. He gave them a chance in the game. I think I thought he was terrific on the first drive, mostly. They went on that 17-play drive. They picked up some third and fourth downs, the little out routes and things to the sideline to get to the sticks. I thought for the most part, ball placement on that drive was really sharp, and he scrambled a couple of times.
A touchdown run was filth.
Well, that was much later. I'm just talking about the first drive.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But I thought it was really good. I hated that they kicked the field goal when they did. Hated it strong, but they'd gone for 2 fourth downs. They had a 4th-and-3 in chip shot field goal range. I would have gone one more time. They kicked. That's fine. Whatever. Kind of went against what they'd done, not only on that drive, but all postseason long. But I thought he was really good to start. And then I thought the rest of the first half, down the field, he got a little bit lucky. Like, he overshot Terry McLaurin at one point. Him and McLaurin weren't on the same page a couple times. But overall, I would just say he was solid. If you wanted to say he was good, no problem with that. As you said, the touchdown run was sexy. Like, that was awesome play.
Yeah, that was just nasty.
I kind of could see around me in the crowd. I was in the press box. But, like, it was kind of one of those, like, high-pitched Chris Berman, like, whoop plays. But the reaction of the Eagles fans was, like, shaking their head and laughing and looking at each other like, oh, that's what we've been hearing about all week.
Oh, I see. That's why he's uncheckable. Yeah, the three guys that all went, you know, like the world's greatest Allen Iverson crossover. It sent three defenders reeling and flying away, cuts back two different times, sort of like, you know, jukes inside, then kind of goes back towards the, you just go, okay, that guy's more talented than everybody.
Daniels' only touchdown pass was the 36-yarder to McLaurin, which was a perfectly thrown slant.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a, you know, 4 or 5 yard slant or whatever that McLaurin ran through a tackle of an all-pro linebacker, mm-hmm. then beat a guy with speed on an angle to the end zone and ran away from Slay inside the five as he was trying to make a tackle. That was a tremendous effort.
Yes, it was.
By Terry McLaurin. But he was not involved enough. He ended up being targeted 7 times. It was one of those where, like, a few of those targets are what I'm talking about, where you throw the ball 20 yards too far, you know, and he
the interception, was it just to
stops.
Go try to make a play? Yeah.
Exactly. There's a couple balls out of bounds that go as targets. In terms of, like, actual throws to him in the confines of the offense in the middle of the field or whatever, or on slants or stuff where he could actually catch it, there might have been 4, 5 tops. And after the touchdown, it was forever until he was back involved. I did not understand that. And I know we're broken records on this show, but forgive us for being correct. Like, there should just never be more than a couple of drives, Danny, because it's not like they were going 3 and out. It's not like they were punting a whole bunch. There should just never be 15, 18, 20 snaps, you know, 6, 7, 8, 10 throws where you're not in some way looking his way. And he was just kind of a non-factor for a couple of quarters.
So 3 of his 4 lowest productive games of the season, outside of like kind of the early season, so over the last like 3 or 4 months, all against Philadelphia, the Atlanta game where he went 1 for 7, 7 targets, 1 reception for 5 yards. You don't care about that because they scored 30 points. That's never my issue. You score points, you move the football. I don't give a damn who's got it. But when you're struggling on offense, you know, it's the type of thing I couldn't stand. I wouldn't be able to live with myself if I didn't get McLaurin going or try to desperately, above all and anything else, as your offense isn't moving the football.
The other game in Philly, mm-hmm. in the middle of November.
1 for 10.
And they only threw it to him twice.
Yeah.
If you remember, they didn't even try to throw it to him. Now, that game was a bad enough offensive game that they were out of rhythm. They didn't run a lot of plays, if I remember. There were some 3 and outs. They weren't really in sync. So some of that is a factor. But every single game, when I got back to my desk at 2 in the morning and flipped on the film for the first time, if I'm Kingsbury, one of my first questions is, did I try my best to involve Terry McLaurin? And you can't say yes after that game.
No.
And I think after this game, you can't say yes. Now, he might say, to your point, well, the Eagles do this thing where they bracket the coverage his way and they dare us to throw it to other people. So Ertz goes 11 for 100 or so. Diami gets looks. And if that's the case, that's fine. But someone else then has to eat. Ertz did. Nobody else did.
Yeah. And if I'm Philadelphia, I'll go, yep. Let me sign up for that every time.
Exactly.
There's nothing dynamic there.
It's also easy to take him out of the game if I'm lining him up in the same spot, not putting him in motion, and not getting him in stacks, which has kind of always been one of the knocks with this offense anyway. But, you know, Diami Brown, 3 for 42, had a 24-yard catch, but of course did fumble in the game. Zacchaeus, everything he caught was early and around the line of scrimmage. Like, someone else then has to be open. If you're telling me they're making such a concerted effort against McLaurin, fine, but then you've got to feed the ball elsewhere.
Yeah, there's, you know, and I think Mitchell is outstanding for them. And I think he's a great matchup for Terry McLaurin for whatever reason. I don't know what physical attributes or mental capacity he has, but he does a really good job when he covers McLaurin one-on-one.
In Landover, Terry beat him a bunch. I want to say it was only like a 5 or 6 catch game for 70 yards and a touchdown.
The one long touchdown, but, yeah, 5 for 60 and a tutty.
Yeah, but he had, I mean, that was the only time they've really thrown to him against the Eagles, and he kind of gave Mitchell all he could handle. I almost think that it's operator error a little bit, but I guess we'll never know, to quote ancient philosopher Kanye West.
Indeed. Yeah, I mean, to me, I think it's a combination of a lot of things. I give a lot of credit to Vic Fangio, Philly's defense. It's really good. They've turned in good work all year. It's not just they only play well against Washington. They played well against damn near everybody.
They ranked number one.
Yeah, over the course of the year. I also do think there is something to the idea, though, that there's not enough of the – humility is not the right word because it sounds like I'm being very critical of Kingsbury. But the, okay, we can't just do what we do. Because that's been good enough to get us the NFC title game. We're dancing with the one that brought us. We're playing our way. There's got to be some acknowledgement here, some deference to the opponent where I go, you know what? The normal way isn't getting McLaurin going enough. His touchdown catch, by the way, a slant when he was on the right side going up against Darius Slay, not the left side. So if I need him to be on the right side, let's just flip every formation, every alignment or whatever until they do something about it. Or, as you said, stack, motion. Where's my pop pass to McLaurin? Why is it only reserved for, you know, Dalby Brown once a game or Olamide Zacchaeus once a game or Crowder? Let's do that. Something else to get him more involved.